Happy to spend a few moments with jazz drummer Terry Lynn Carrington. She's the upcoming guest artist for the annual Jazz Weekend at Central Michigan University. Showcase concert is Friday, February 7th, and that is at Warner Hall, Plakta Auditorium on the campus of CMU. Terry, thanks so much for taking the time to join in with us as you get set to do something you do a lot, and that's going out and combining not only performing with education, and it is great to have you back as a guest once again here at CMU. Long career, you've won Grammy Awards, and but got the bug really early, picking up your professional start at only the age of 10. How did you find your way to that earliest start? What was the support system like that got you playing at such a young age?
I was very fortunate. My dad knew a lot of musicians and still does. And my grandfather, too, played drums, so music ran in the family. And when musicians came to town, my dad would take me to see them, and he would tell them I played, and I guess they believed him, you know, believed that I was okay, and they would let me sit in. And that was all very encouraging. So I had, you know, an important early mentorship, which I think is a key when you're starting off at such a young age.
Was it always the draw to jazz? Were you exposed to a lot of different types of music? Because you went on to, you know, to have the time that you spent with Arsenio Hall and Quincy Jones and the Sinbad Show and all of that. So it's obviously a varied musical palette that you've been able to draw from. What was the main force, the main musical inspiration that drew you in?
Well, I would say that it's all connected to the blues. And one thing, like, I know my dad played a lot of blues for me when I was young. Oregon trio groups, Jack McDuff, Jimmy Smith, people like that, B.B. King. And he had some experience playing with those kinds of artists when he was in college. So I had a strong connection to the blues at a young age. And you know, the blues is the foundation of jazz, as well as rhythm and blues, R&B, soul music, hip-hop, rock and roll. The blues is the foundation for all of it. So I don't think it's really that strange or uncommon for jazz musicians to be connected to the root of basically all American music, which is rooted in Black music. So I don't find it odd that I like jazz and R&B or soul music.
When you see and feel those connections that you do, have they all kind of come over time as you have continued to evolve your sound? And by that, I mean the fact that you've been able to incorporate all these different styles into what, I mean, we probably don't even want to, you know, say that they are all just purely jazz albums, because you've blended so many different styles and worked with so many different artists and in different instrumentations and the like. It's a continuing music creation. What right now is driving you the most? The latest release has more innovations on it. What would you say right now is fueling your inspiration the most at this time?
Well, I think musically, I've tried to surround myself with younger artists, people that are important, you know, on the scene today, that are doing some things differently. I think every generation has a different sound. And in order to stay current or hip to what's happening now, it's important to listen to what younger people are doing. And so when I formed this new band, Social Science, I knew that I wanted to do a collaborative project with Aaron Parks and Matthew Stevens, because I liked the direction of their music and their writing. Of course, you know, me being kind of, you know, the focal point of that group, and the producer, main producer, I obviously have a certain kind of aesthetic that I also like that involves groove-oriented music, you know, involves R&B and soul and hip-hop influences. And we have a DJ in that group as well. So, you know, it's, again, a project that really does blend all of those elements. even the B-side, or it's a double album. The second album is a free improv of acoustic music. So, the album definitely speaks to all of the different sides of my musicianship. And that's been my focus, really, over the last few years. Really, this project has been about 3 years in the making.
Is it something that, because of the scope of it, is something that you're able to transfer to the stage? Do you have to modify any of these things that you've done through your career just because of the logistics of getting either all the elements together or having everybody being able to, in a sense, take what was made in the studio and bring it before a live audience? What sorts of changes in the presentation, if any, do you find as you create these new sounds?
I mean, when you create a record, an album, you're not really thinking so much about what it will translate to live. I mean, I think about it, but I don't focus so much on that. But this project is more of a band project, so I feel like we pull it off live. We just don't generally have all the guests. And I try not to have as many guests on this record as I have in the past. So sometimes, we'll have a different rapper. Casa Overall is in the band and he raps. But sometimes if he can't make it, we'll have somebody else that's on the record. So it works live. I think the more important thing is that it's a band sound that we're developing and establishing. So the live performances, end up feeling really good, opposed to often, for me, it's been difficult making a band sound with some of my previous projects. And this one has been easier because we've tried to stick to the core musicians that are in the band.
Drummer Terry Lynn Carrington coming as the guest for the annual Jazz Weekend at Central Michigan University, hosted by the School of Music. The concert featuring her and Jazz Lab One is Friday night, February 7th. And that is on the CMU campus. All the information at music.cmich.edu. Obviously, this is a setting where you're coming to work with the students and do some clinic work, masterclass work, and the like. How much are you then able to draw from all of these experiences you've had? What sorts of reception do you get for the different music you've created as you take that to a younger audience, and what's your main advice to them as they are looking to follow and make their own way in music as you have?
I don't have any boilerplate advice, because what I find is everybody has, different needs and asks different questions. Though because I'm a teacher at Berklee College of Music, I do see some trends, with some of the students, but at that age and stage of their lives and careers, there's only so much experience that they've had. There's only so much that they know already. And some people know more than others. Some people have had more exposure than others. Some people are further along in their development as a player than others. So it's difficult to just have, some advice that really works for everybody. But I generally tend to suss out the room and see, the direction of questions and get a sense of where they are musically and try to address them appropriately. There's so much to learn. It's very difficult being a young musician, because the more time passes, the more music there is that you're responsible for knowing. But on the other hand, because of technology, more is at your fingertips a lot quicker than when I was young. So there's a bit of a catch-22 there. But I do, find that young players have developed in certain ways, at least, technically and, with the academia, have developed a bit faster. You keep developing faster, and that's natural, I think. But mentorship has probably decreased, in the way that we know it, from like the players that really are out there making the music. So that's one reason I also like to do these kinds of workshops and clinics because that becomes the only way some of them get small doses of mentorship. And, you know, I'm doing a lot of gender equity work these days, and you know, especially interested in trying to deal with that in reference to, you know, the jazz arena. And going to these schools really helps me get a sense of where that's at as well in different parts of the country.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I would be not showing you the respect you deserve to refer to you as a female jazz drummer. Your reputation, your career speaks for itself and apologizes, has to put in no disclaimers for anyone. But the reality, unfortunately, that we see in the music industry, and perhaps maybe it's more prevalent in jazz than in other forms, do you have a message to the younger female players as to how they can control their music, their voice, and what they want to do in a world that does not always see things on an equal plane as it should?
I mean, like I said, lack of mentorship is a big part of the problem. Access, you know, just people helping you get, you know, to this place of being able to be competitive as a side person. And I do think being a side person is very important. It's how the lineage of jazz has been. Most people become side people first and then develop their own voice and then have something to say as a leader. And what I've found is that often women don't get those opportunities and have had to go lead earlier and create their own situations if they wanted to play the music. And, you know, I think that, you know, that's, you know, an important part of developing as a musician. It's an apprentice art form. And so I'm, you know, hoping to encourage more and more musicians, male and female, to mentor more and apprentice more and work on this, because the music itself won't reach its full potential until we have gender equity. That's with any field, any business, you know, with any workplace. So that's kind of what we're looking at. And yeah, you're right. I mean, I've worked, you know, my whole life not to be put in a category of being a female musician, but I'm a musician just like everybody else. I do happen to be female, but we want to get to a point where, you know, gender is not, doesn't have to be acknowledged at all. Because, see, when you acknowledge me as a female drummer, it's making me, you know, either it's saying that I'm an exception because there just aren't that many female drummers. And if I'm accepted and people think I'm good, then I'm an exception, you know, to the rule. And there shouldn't be, you know, a rule in the first place. And so exceptional situations are not always to be celebrated. You know, just like when I won the Grammy for Jazz Instrumental and was the first woman to win it, as much as, you know, that was a great thing for me, you know, the issue itself is nothing to be celebrated that, you know, in the 21st century that, you know, we don't have any women winning Grammys in that category. In the numbers game, you know, it just says, you know, that's why, because it's hard to be competitive without this kind of mentorship and access into the music. So hopefully, you know, we're doing some things now. People are becoming aware, more aware of this, and everybody's seeing the value in having this kind of diversity in the music. And everybody hopefully will do their part in changing this so that in my lifetime, you know, I'll see a really, really big difference.
Over 100 recordings to your credit, musician, drummer, band leader, composer, member at Berklee College of Music, and Grammy winner, drummer, musician, Terry Lynn Carrington. We are happy to have you coming to the campus of Central Michigan University for Jazz Weekend, Friday, February 7th. music.cmich.edu for all of the information. Congratulations on the new release, Terry, and I look forward to all that you'll bring to the students and to the stage in your visit. Safe travels between now and then in getting to Michigan, and thank you so much. It's been a pleasure and an honor to talk with you today.
Thank you. My pleasure, and see you soon.